Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 2nd. From a press release, the Montrose County School Board and Administration will be holding a community meeting for the discussion of school safety. The district is looking for solutions from the community to address this concern. The school board, district administration, and local law enforcement will be in attendance for this event. The district highly encourages parents and community members to be involved with this important topic. The event will be at the Lloyd McMillan Gym on Monday, March 5th at 7 p.m. Monday's meeting was scheduled after two Montrose County School District students were questioned, one of them arrested, for allegedly threatening to shoot up a school. According to the Montrose Daily Press, the threat happened sometime Monday morning. One juvenile student is in custody and will be sent to the Grand Mesa Youth Services in Grand Junction. The second student, also a juvenile, was questioned about the incident. The student in custody was allegedly making threats of shooting up a school in front of the other student. The student attends Montrose High School and takes a class at Vista Charter School, so it was not immediately clear whether the alleged threats targeted a specific school. A third student may have received a message about the alleged threats. The alleged threat follows others made at Centennial Middle School and Olathe Middle School last week. In the first incident, one student allegedly threatened to harm another if the other boy did not help him take guns into the school. In Olathe, a student reportedly claimed to have a bomb and to know where to put it. No weapons or explosives were found in either case. It was anything but business as usual at the Colorado Capitol on Thursday. Tensions were high as Democrats and Republicans in the House discussed the pros and cons of expelling one of their own. It's something that hasn't happened in over 100 years, and as Benta Berkland reports, a planned vote for today could have huge political and personal implications for both parties.
At the center of this controversy is Democratic Representative Steve Lebsack from Thornton. Earlier this week, an independent investigation from the Employers Council sided with five women who accused him of sexual harassment.
My colleagues are not going to expel me. And even if we went through an extended period where there was due process, at the end of it, there would even be more no votes because it would be proven that I did not sexually harass anyone.
If this fails, we are sending a very chilling message to women that work in that building that when they come forward, there are no repercussions against elected officials.
That's Democratic Representative Faith Winter. She was the first to publicly come forward against Lebsack after we started asking people about the culture inside the Capitol during the beginning stages of the Me Too movement. Winter says he used vulgar language and tried to initiate sex. On Thursday, Winter told her colleagues that it's important accusers are believed and that there are consequences.
It is a step forward. I hope it's a big one and not a small one.
It would take a two-thirds vote of the House to remove Lebsack from office. And even if Democrats all voted together, they would still need eight Republicans to join them. But many in the GOP have concerns, pointing to a heavily redacted report they say is unclear. They also say they haven't had enough time to review the document to make an informed vote. And many, such as Representative Ulan Willett of Grand Junction, don't think Lebsack's behavior rises to the level of expulsion.
It's very hard for me to think of something that would be so egregious as to cause expulsion that wouldn't also be criminal.
Democratic House Majority Leader Casey Becker recommended expulsion. She says 11 allegations from five women of lewd behavior and unwanted advances that were found credible, coupled with a letter Lebsack gave to all House members detailing personal information about his accusers, is egregious. An investigator found his offensive, aimed at defending himself, amounted to retaliation. Retaliation is banned under the workplace harassment policy.
If the only time you're going to hold your members accountable for their behavior is if it's criminal, then we are holding ourselves to a lower standard than people in the private sector are held to. That's not the expectation of the people who elected us. And the Constitution specifies that we can hold ourselves accountable for behavior.
But Willett feels Democrats are politicizing the matter. That's one reason he says he tried to create an ethics committee made up of members in both parties to review the evidence and investigate. His motion failed on the House floor on Thursday.
I have seen tweeters, emails, and comments by some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle trying to say that our efforts are simply to delay because we're afraid to vote on this. They're already trying to put us in this box.
Amidst all the drama in the House, Senate President Kevin Grantham asked Denver District Attorney Beth McCann to conduct criminal investigations of sexual misconduct by lawmakers, including allegations against three Republican senators that were found to be credible.
If evidence is found by the district attorney to prosecute charges of sexual misconduct by these members of the Colorado legislature, and they are found guilty of the allegations, we as Republican lawmakers are prepared to offer resolutions and vote for expulsion of those members from the Colorado legislature.
The DA's office responded, saying the office only investigates complaints if a victim comes forward to the police and it's criminal. At the end of a long day on Thursday, Representative Steve Lubsock says he's ready for the vote that will determine his future.
To be honest with you, I'm okay with a vote.
A vote like this hasn't happened in Colorado in 102 years. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
From a press release, applications are now being accepted for limited big game, sheep, and mountain goat hunting licenses for 2018. Colorado Parks and Wildlife encourages all hunters to prepare and apply early for this year's license draw. 2018 will be the first big game draw process conducted in the new Parks and Wildlife Integrated Purchasing System, which means there are some significant changes for hunters this year. One major change is that paper applications are no longer accepted. All applications must be done online or over the phone. Additionally, payment in full is no longer required at the time of application. Hunters will be responsible only for their application fees and a $10 habitat stamp when applying. The cost of any licenses will not be charged until a hunter is selected in the draw. Finally, updates to the purchasing system no longer require unique emails for every account, allowing families to use the same email address for all purchases. This also means email is no longer a unique identifier for logging into the system. Prepare to have your customer identification number, driver's license number, or other information handy for logging in. The deadline to apply for limited licenses is April 3rd. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife website is cpw.state.co.us. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.